Have you ever seen those lists on the internet that's like top 5 sandwich toppings, top 5 movies of the year, top 5 celebrities who have a very punchable face? You know what I'm talking about. The point is, all these lists drive us crazy because we have no idea who made them and how they even narrowed down their top 5 list. That's where my podcast comes in. My name is Tung Law and I am the host of Ranked. Top 5 lists of stuff that don't matter. In every episode, with the help of a motley crew of self-proclaimed experts, we debate, battle, and work together, showing you the entire process of how we got there to create a top 5 list of any and every topic we can think of, like top 5 brunch menu items, top 5 fictional dogs, top 5 90s songs, top 5 Steves. The list goes on, and we will not rest till we rank basically everything. So join us every second Thursday in the Pod Cavern for Ranked, top 5 lists of stuff that don't matter.
Top 5, top 5, top 5.
Struggle. I'm Nick Watson.
And I'm Bree Watson.
It's different in here today, Bree. It's very large and cave-like.
Spacious.
A bit ominous.
Cavernous,
if you will.
That's right, Nick. That's because we're now part of the Pod Cavern. Or just Pod Cavern. I said the. I think it doesn't need a the. Pod Cavern. That's right. We're part of a podcasting network now. We did it. Yay. Somebody invited us into their pod home. Somebody is Pod Cavern. Pod Cavern is an explosively awesome podcast network that creates innovative and entertaining audio content. And that is us. And if you're new to the podcast, if 2024 was the year that you were like, I need to listen to more podcasts. That's my resolution.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Then welcome. We're a little podcast with siblings, Nick and Bree. And we talk about the struggles balancing life and art. And Nick, Nick, your back is like a life struggle right now, right?
Oh, yeah. Constantly.
It's
on the mend, but like, dude, if you're experiencing chronic pain, we talked about Lacey. To Lacey about this. Dude, you don't feel like doing very much creative crap at all. You just want to get through your day without crying.
Right. So you've got some CBD and you don't cream need... there to try to calm things down.
Exactly. And also, you don't need physical pain to cry all day long. You can have crippling emotional pain too,
you know, all the good stuff. What a way to start the new year, Nick. And for our new Pod Cavern listeners who are like, oh yes, very entertaining crippling emotional content.
I think it's, well, I don't know, entertaining. It's certainly, you know, part of life's rich tapestry.
I would say it is in the zeitgeist pretty severely at the moment, but
there you go.
Yeah. I don't know.
Everyone's riding the struggle bus.
We sure are. And that's why this is a podcast for you when you're both riding the struggle bus and also celebrating your wins at the rest stops of the struggle bus when the struggle bus pulls
along
over.
The way.
Yeah, that's right. Pulls over and it goes to like a water park and that's where you get to celebrate your wins.
Oh, all right. I was thinking more like the struggle en route.
Oh, yeah.
Where you go, you can get a Starbucks.
You get good Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that works.
Bathrooms
too.
Are pretty clean for the most part.
Yeah. All right. I could take that. Like, I like a good en route. This podcast sponsored en route.
I wish. Who doesn't love a good en route?
Right? Oh, man. That makes me want to go
you're
on
out
a
there
road
having
trip.
Adventure. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Nick, it's just you and me today. There's nobody else. We're not interviewing anybody.
I know both those people.
That's right. And it's our big 2023 year in review edition.
Oh, okay, cool.
You, I can't wait to look back at that garbage year. You didn't know? What do you think we're doing here?
I don't know. I just walked into the cavern.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I hit it.
I was spelunking. I was spelunking.
I love that. That's a good word. Because is that an onomatopoeia? It's like if you were to.
I guess it is.
Spelunk.
Because you're for sure. That noise is for sure happening.
Especially if you like
some loose rocks came out,
or if you fall into some water or something. Spelunk.
That's more of a curse splash, I would say.
Yeah, well,
I'm curse splashing.
We're not in the curse splash network, so zone. Here we go.
Okay.
Oh, Nick. All right, you already mentioned back it. You alluded
2023.
Yeah. How was that year for? Well, I guess we'll explore how it was for both of us. That's kind of the point. Right.
Yeah, I would go like creatively. It was pretty trashy.
Okay.
Like, sorry. November happened in 2023. I got another book out, so that's okay.
Was that for your?
I didn't do what I wanted to do.
Go into for NaNoWriMo. That.
Yeah. I'd wanted to edit all of the books I had written prior for the 3 years before that, the NaNoWriMos. I did get through, I did a reading of each, took notes, created like a show Bible for the whole trilogy.
You need a Bible for books?
I felt I did. Because you got to know what all your characters look like, their drives, motivations, who they are, ages, color, to keep it consistent throughout the three books. And I find it's good to have even within one book because you need to remember what your characters look like.
And how long is your Bible?
Oh, I don't know. I shoved it all onto an Excel spreadsheet. So it's long.
Oh, man. We must have that in our genes genetically, the appreciation for Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah. It's easy to manipulate. I don't do Final Word or WordPress or whatever those
Final Cut
editing softwares are.
No, that's something else. That's for
There's one for writing, and it
screenwriting. Final Draft.
Final Draft.
That's
Final
for screenwriting. Draft.
Yeah, I think that's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's something I didn't look into, but you know, whatever Excel.
It costs money too. Like, so if you're able to just write the novel itself in just, you know, a word processor.
Free shit.
Yeah. Although word processors aren't free either. Nothing's free.
No, no. But I mean, I think we paid for it anyway for just the house.
Right. The house came with a word processor.
It did. Yep.
So, okay, Nick, that was November, right?
Yeah.
What about January to November?
Oh, fail. Like, you know how I do the Toronto Star short story contest?
Yeah.
Every year? I missed my deadline on it.
So that's fucking to start blur. Or to end?
I guess to end. To start.
Oh.
To start the year. Yeah. No, because it starts in January and it's due at the end of February.
Are you doing it this year?
I'm going to submit two. I'm going to submit the one that I failed to submit last year, and I'm going to do a fresh, hot one for this year.
Oh, nice.
So, I'll have all my failures back in order.
Well, there you go. Then you're catching back up.
Yeah. And so, I don't think there's a limit on how many you're allowed to submit. I think me and the Toronto Star are coolest cucumbers that are kept in the fridge.
That is cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's refreshing. Okay.
So you already have your writing has like a schedule to it. You do the content.
A schedule, if you will. Mm. Yes.
You start the schedule with January writing, and then you've got your NaNoWriMo. But what about in between there?
That's the struggle, dude.
Right.
That's what I'm going to really have to get her done. Because like when you're doing the NaNoWriMo, you have that hard deadline of 50,000 words within 30 days. Sorry, I should have hit the cough button there. But like, I don't know. I'm struggling to do daily work that doesn't have the immediate product of like, here you have 1600 words, you know, you've done something, you've achieved something.
I guess you have to,
I don't know how
set
to
set your own goals in that case, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe I tried doing a timing thing.
Yeah.
Like doing, I've been reading. Oh, dude, I started reading Infinite Jest. Have you seen that book?
Is it a big one?
Yeah, it's like over 1,000 pages. Ooh. And there's like footnotes and footnotes within the footnotes.
Do you have to read the
footnotes? It's kind of funny as well. Yeah, you do.
Oh, that's why. Is that why it's called Infinite Jest?
I don't know. So, well, there's a series of movies within the book called Infinite Jest, so I think they're related to that.
Mm. Okay.
And then I'm reading some Alice Munro short stories as well right now. So I'm doing like, I'm trying to do at least 1 or 2 hours of reading a day, which has been fun. And I don't know. I'll have to give myself an hour or two to get some writing done for the short mm-hmm. story. And then after that, keep doing that 1 or 2 hours of creative editing,
I guess. Sure.
you can call it, right?
Because what do you still need to get done to edit your books?
I don't know. That's the problem. Like, is there a technique for editing?
Are they at a point where you could send them off to somebody or not necessarily an editor?
I don't even feel
publicist or something.
I don't even feel comfortable like having Catherine read it yet. It feels too sloppy still.
Mm. Well, I guess, yeah, maybe look up some resources for editing and see what you come up with. Or maybe if we have any listeners who are writers out there, they can let us know what their editing process looks like and maybe
give
you some tips.
Yeah. So like I did a couple pass-throughs on the first book. You know, basic little spell checks as much as I can, and then doing the story Bible. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking I'm going to do the first book again and break it down by scenes and then do all my scene work on that. You know, like you have to beginning, middle, end a scene. Mm-hmm. There has to be something that a person wants and move the story forward, things like that.
Yeah. I wonder, Nick, though, like how much more time are you going to spend just like digging down into it before you just send it off somewhere? I'm worried that this is becoming like, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good kind of situation where if you get it out there, somebody takes a look at it, they let you know what to do with it. And then you decide from that point if you have to go through it scene by scene and bit by bit and how much of a pass through you have to get through.
Yeah, no, I hear you. That's certainly a consideration. Mm. I think I need to look into like seriously how to do your second draft.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Everybody says the first draft is just like get it up on the page and then after that, what are some good techniques after that? That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And there are things like you could submit it to writers groups and like, you know, how like I'll review somebody else's book and they can I can edit somebody's book for them and they can do mine. Things like that. Have you heard of these things?
Peer editing?
But like, I wouldn't know how to review someone else's book. So I think I need to learn how to do that. That's the next step.
All right. Well, let us know what you find and we'll post some information on helpful editing tips.
Learning to edit. Like, have you submitted any writing?
Only like a short post, like a funny, you know, article, not a huge book or something. Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. All right. So that's way smaller and tidier to edit.
And often they would just edit it themselves because it was pretty short.
Yeah, exactly.
Any sketches that I write or anything is edited by the person I'm writing the sketch with. And even then sometimes, or if it's a sketch that you end up videoing, then it gets edited by the editor of the sketch, which is good. Oh man, editing is so important for comedy. I feel like most comedy could be so much better if you just chopped half of it. But yeah, it's much shorter. Yes, shorter content than the stuff that you work on.
In a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I think devoting the time to it will be a first step to getting it done, and then maybe I could figure out benchmarks after that.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody else listening, if they wanted to share their writing routine, so that you have like an idea of what it looks like for other writers to, you know, what their schedule looks like, especially if they're also, you know, working day jobs and that kind of thing. So you have an understanding of what the structure might look like, and that way you don't get too deviated from it. You don't let life get in the way too much. Although it has a way of getting in the way, doesn't it?
For sure.
I had a weird year.
Yeah.
If you're ready to go on this side of the table.
Yeah, let's go with the Brie zone. What did Brie get up to this year?
I had to leave my house.
that was a struggle.
That was a struggle.
This market is a struggle. Am I right, Brie? Jeez.
Yeah, no kidding. And then I had to get a day job again. So this year already looks very different than it did last year. That's weird. It's not bad or good. It's just weird. The house, we were happy that when it sold, because it had been on the market for 9 fucking months.
Yikes, that's a baby. Your house was a baby.
My house was a baby. And then, you know, moving temporarily in with the parents in the meantime, that's an interesting
dynamic when you're in your late 30s.
Right. And when you're, and then also going back to work and trying to continue all the artsy stuff, just, it was a lot to coordinate and a lot to
process.
I don't know that I have processed it. I don't know if I will until we're moving again next month, which is good. We're moving back to we're moving out of the parents' place and into another house, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I don't know. It was strange. I still, managed to get some gigs and still got some improv. Luckily, you don't have to prepare too much for anything. So all of the, like, in spite of it being such a weird transitional year, it was the most successful year of Improv Niagara as a company, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's huge. That's big. Brie, do you feel like it's been a continuation of like COVID?
I feel like this is different than COVID. Like COVID felt like, okay, because, and I maybe it's just because of the house, right? Because like I feel like COVID ended when we had to get rid of the house, because then it was like all the fun of government help, you know?
Yeah.
And that was over, and now it's gone back to like the government doesn't give a shit. In fact, we're raising interest rates so much that you can't afford your house anymore. So get the fuck out.
Love you.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, I felt like this was like a big break from the COVID life that I had been living, which is, I don't know, probably not a bad thing, because I think it's been better for productivity. It's been better for, I don't know. It's, I guess I'm awake earlier, you know?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I think it helps like that I don't hate my day job. I think for a lot of the other work, I guess I didn't hate working at CBC, but I felt like I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. And there was a lot of conflict, internal conflict there.
That's very draining.
Yeah. But I think,
and you're so close to what you wanted to do as well.
Because it
was
too.
Like in, yeah.
Because that company, that company does in fact make comedy content, but it doesn't do it in the building where I was working. You know, it's such a separate beast to get things made with that company.
Yeah.
So it's almost,
I feel like if you were into LARPing now, but you got your current job, but you weren't allowed to do period dress.
What? This isn't fair. Although I don't wear period dress.
No, you need...
That is true. I don't get to wear period dress, Nick. I'm not, I don't do the costume. And well, that's just it. I don't know. There's something about the new job that even though I know it's not anything to do with comedy or writing or anything like that, I'm still like completely okay with it. And I just like, I just enjoy it. I just enjoy being there. I'm not like, oh, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I'm like, this place is awesome. I'm here. I do my job. I get my paycheck. And then when I go home, I do the stuff that I'm more passionate about.
Your job would make a good location for like a sitcom.
There are,
I think you talked about.
Yeah, there are a couple people I know who've been wanting to write projects about it. I think it would be a hilarious place. I don't know that we would ever be able for. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk about where, you know, given.
Yeah.
Anyway. Back in tourism, which is and the fact that it's in Niagara on the Lake, it's such a nice place to be. I don't know. It's whereas like not that Toronto is not a nice place to be, but I'm not like living amongst the trees in Toronto, you know. So it's kind of
No.
One thing that I found that it has helped with, is just being more discerning about what projects I do want to take on comedy wise. And it's helped me say no to things that aren't helpful at all. You know, I did. Yeah. I got to travel a little bit. Did you travel last year?
Yeah, I went to Scotland.
There you go. And you hadn't been there in a long time.
No. So I got my golf back on. I feel like I went, we went to Buffalo. That's not a huge travel, but it was certainly fun for a baseball tournament.
Nice. I got to go to Vancouver.
Yes. Van Groovy.
Yeah, man. As part of the Second Cities Union, is part of a bigger union, and that union has yearly meetings, and their meeting was in Vancouver, and I got to go. And I was like, well, while I'm there, I'll do a couple sets, which was a lot of fun. So I got to do stand-up in Vancouver while I was over there, man, making the best of that. That was very cool.
Yay. That's where Seth Rogen did his comedy. I'm assuming.
I don't, yeah.
He's a Vancouver guy, right?
Yeah. Did he do stand up before he went down to LA to become best friends with Judd Apatow and become amazingly successful?
I think he was a stand up as a, like, as a high school kid.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. And then I think there's some shots of him as a 13-year-old on stage.
Okay. Sure. I started projects, I ended projects. I tried to run a cabaret show at the Staircase in Hamilton. We had a couple fun shows, and after that, it just got really, really tough to produce.
We get enough. Performers or acts.
It was that part's not. It's getting an audience to come back every month, and knowing like. Yeah. So I remember like the last show I think we did. They're like, "Oh well, this is the same night as Art Crawl, and Art Crawl is a big deal in Hamilton." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know what happens in Hamilton as far as, you know, the schedule. So I guess let's not book it on Art Crawl." And then the Fringe happened and we just didn't do the show ever again. So, but I did the Fringe. The Fringe was fun. That was, you know, yeah.
Maybe you could do a quarterly cabaret.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't know. I think I'll just work on some stuff down in Niagara. And although I do love the Staircase. I don't know. It's about finding the right project for the Staircase. Maybe it's not something. Yeah, like you said, maybe quarterly. Maybe it's just like a one-off here and there. But there you go. Yeah, I thought the Fringe went well. We got to do our show at the Fringe. Got shitty reviews, but whatever.
Yay!
The reviews were, I don't know, sometimes the reviews were like, first of all, the first guy came on the night where we had so many like technical hiccups that was like, well,
okay.
Right. And then the second person was like, well, there wasn't enough improv in it. That was like one of the criticisms. And we're like, oh, okay, but it's not an improv show. So I don't know how this counts as, all right.
Whoops.
Yeah.
But thanks for your feedback.
Yeah.
This isn't the thing. That sounds like it's a him problem almost.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Thanks for trying.
I'm just going through my like book of what I did last year. And one of the bummers of having a day job is that I went to the beach only once last year, Nick. Only once.
I feel like you could have probably upped those numbers.
I could have. During the pandemic, I went to the beach a lot. So this was disappointing. I went to Stratford twice, though. I guess maybe that's like, there were some trade-offs. I could have gone to the beach instead of going to see King Lear, but I wanted to see me some Paul Gross. So I did.
How was his Lear, Brie?
Oh, he did so well. I love him. I love Paul Gross.
That's good.
Yeah. It was very good. We had a bunch of corporate workshops this year with like a bunch of lawyers. It was really fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That could have gone either way.
Yeah. Okay, I'm into the fall now. I had to change my changing my red book of destiny here.
Keep going.
One of the biggest things. Oh, you got a drink.
Thank you.
Ooh, a glass of wine out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I got to shoot a feature film, Nick. A feature film. My first union feature film. That's how I ended the year. Bada bing, bada boom. Giant project.
To end love
the
that. Year,
which allowed me to.
Join.
Boom, 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 boom. Join the union. Yay. I guess that's more of a like.
The union forever.
But that was untrue. No, it was true. It's true.
You know, the union's doing all right.
Yeah.
So far.
Anyway, so I got to join the union. Now I'm a member of three different unions. That's fun. Think about those
unions. That's the whole idea of unions is to union them.
Oh, yeah. We'll get one big union to merge all the unions together. I guess joining the union
one
is a 2024
union
thing.
To bring them together.
I was seeing in Second City that like Chicago.
Oh, yeah, it is.
What? Oh, I missed.
I forgot that it was this year that happened.
Yeah.
That's only like a couple days ago.
Yeah, it was just a couple days ago that I got my letter. So, I don't know. We're starting 2024 off with a union bang. See how it goes. Do you have goals or plans or anything?
I'm going to reprise the editing. Like, I want to get that done. I want to get to the point where I could start collecting rejection letters off the books.
Ooh, you'll have to frame your first rejection letter.
Let's see. Can you see my
I have the hall
of rejects up there in the corner.
Oh, you've already got a bunch of them. Okay. Lovely.
Yeah, those are for short stories that failed. So that's cool.
Hey, man, you got to celebrate your failures.
I mean, the second one on there is like, yeah, we'll take your book or your story. So I didn't get any money for it or anything, but it was like that rejection was an acceptance.
Right.
So that's cool. That's neat. Yeah, I want to start collecting those again. It's like, I need to get this shit out there.
That's right. Because how do you know? How do you know? Well, yeah, people have to read your stuff. Like, that's why you're writing.
Yeah, and I keep
presumably.
Wondering what to do with this. Yeah. Well, okay. That's the huge question, because every once in a while, I just want to quit and not do it. For obvious reasons, right?
Sure. I mean, like, yeah, I would lie if I was like, should I just quit comedy forever? Like, if I didn't say that once every couple months, for sure.
Yeah, because like
every time I do, though, then I get a callback or something, or I book a gig or something. I'm like, all right,
oh, that's interesting.
Just when I think I got out.
Yeah, well, but for me, it's that haunting advice of like writers write, which is like, cool, I could just not do this. But then I have this, first of all, the compulsion that I should be writing, which is annoying. It could be just Catholic guilt. However, when I do write, I fucking enjoy it.
Yes.
So it's like, I should just do it then.
Yeah. I also think like a lot of this stuff and this advice and whatever is just like, I don't know, fluff. Because I don't think you and I take to motivation very well. Like, we like doing a thing.
No,
and then
I think we see it as inherently horseshit.
Right. Like, we see somebody trying to tell us what to do, and we're like, go fuck off. You know, writers write, actors act, whatever, man. You got to do what you got to do. Like, if life gets in the. I think, if anything else, the Catholic guilt is what. It's not that it's what forces you to keep doing it. It's what makes you feel bad when you're not doing it according to the way that you think you're supposed to be doing it.
Yeah. So like if I'm just wasting my time on Instagram and YouTube instead of like go read a book.
Right.
Go learn how to edit.
But Instagram and YouTube, like I feel like that's a separate thing, man. That's like, oh God, I wish I could not be on Instagram. And I'm sure it's like people would be like, just log off. Just don't. No, but it's
Getting to the point where I'm gonna just kick it off my phone.
Like I can't. I have to
trash.
I have to promote shows. And it's true, like it's different than it was. Like every two posts is an ad now. It's like, oh, friend,
yeah,
buy this bra. You probably don't get those ads, but well, I get a lot of bra ads.
No. My other concern is I like to like go into the search function, like if you're looking up anything, right, or to get, there seems like there's a lot of comedy and funny things to look at when you're in the search thingy. Sure. But like by the time you get to the third thing that you've looked at, and it's just like ultra right wing nationalist bullshit, and it's just a couple clicks away all the time.
I don't
and
get it that. It might be because you're a man of a certain age that you're getting that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but I will. Yeah, like it doesn't take long before I'm like
God help me if I click on a.
Yeah.
Like if you look at Bill Burr on Rogan, right, your thing is fucking munched, yeah, for days.
Yeah, it doesn't take long for you to be,
aren't women terrible?
For you to be steered away from what it is you actually give a shit about. Like it takes, you know, maybe two clicks for you to be like, I didn't want to be here at all. And I guess it does that on purpose. Maybe it's better that it does, because then you're like, okay, well, I'll get out of this thing. You know, mm-hmm, I'll log off now. But yeah, if it would be good if they didn't make it so addictive. Because that's a struggle.
Well, the other thing is,
that's a struggle. Not paying attention. Yeah,
and the way the algorithms, the way it works is it wants to keep you on there as long as you can. Yeah. So it will send you things that piss you off. So you go and yell at some dumb fucker on their comments, and then get that comment because, he engaged.
Nick, ours is set up so differently. Yours is to enrage you. Mine is to make me sad. I feel like I keep getting ads that are like things that make me sad, and then I'll keep engaging, right? Like I see so many dead pets. Like I must have just like wrote back like, oh, I'm so sorry your dog died once, and now I just get like sad animal stories and, you know, like
there you go,
bad things that happen to people who didn't deserve it and that kind of stuff. So I find it interesting how it, you know, like it's the same trick, but using different emotional triggers. Right, for you it's anger, for me
wow, so like
yeah,
so I guess like if you're gonna comment or like anybody's shit, it better be something that you're 100% cool with getting fucking inundated with,
basically. Speaking of the consumption of media though, Nick, one area that hasn't let us down this year is the streaming services, and specifically Disney Plus, specifically for what we do in the shadows.
It's been fantastic, Grace. Love it. This is a Matt Berry friendly zone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to get the short stories done. That's my first goal, and that's due by the end of February.
Did you ever do that thing? Like in the past, we talked about having a word of the year and stuff. Did you do that? Were you ever doing that? Did you do that ever?
Certainty.
You're such a broccolum.
I like Westerns. It's like veritas et utilitas, which translates to like truth is useful? But utility, right?
Right.
Truth is right. So the other translation. Well, the other translation is like truth when useful.
I don't know what Ottawa uses. It might be bilingual.
It's probably in French.
Yeah.
Yeah, so goals. I don't know. Goals?
I mean, you said...
I'm reading my book. Artist Way. I mean, reading a bit of that. I've done a little bit of journaling. I find that I'm a bit weird with the journaling because I feel like it's an effort to do. And it drains your creative energy, or just like the energy you have available to you in a day to get some writing done.
It's like, it doesn't have to be a journal. Super long journal. Yeah, I guess that's the problem with writing, because journaling is also writing. For most people who aren't writers, they don't, journaling has nothing, you know, has nothing to do with their otherwise endeavors.
Yeah,
I'm looking at mine thing here, is, and I don't know if I ever saw it. Deus scientiarum dominus est. God is the Lord of knowledge, which I didn't realize I went to such a.
It's the Master
of Sciences. Is that it? Interesting.
Wow.
And then that's the first thing on Reddit is it just me or is Ottawa's motto a little problematic?
Oh, no. You love the problematic. Should that be our word for the year, Bree?
Problematic.
We're going to have the most. Right.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Good word.
So, what were you saying about journaling?
Nah, it's meant to be good for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
I find it knackering.
What if you do something else then? Like meditate. Because that way you don't write, but it comes up with a similar, you know, it's a similar idea. Well, I guess it's different. Journaling
is good help you, to get
go through problems and it, go through. Yeah.
Yeah. And it does pull out whatever is on your mind, like deep in there.
Whereas meditation is like, get the stuff that's in my mind away for a couple seconds. Just give me a couple seconds of not having to focus on what's on my mind. I like doing both. I like meditating more than journaling, I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I
guess, I don't know. What my goal for this year is just to get the editing done.
So maybe your word of the year is edit.
It could be. Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Edit. And then like everything you do is based around that word. I don't have a word yet philosophy. For the year. I had like a word for the season because I knew that the beginning of this year is going to be weird because we're moving. And I feel like I can't have a word until I'm in my new place. That's kind of how
I was going to say the word Jesus, the reason for the season.
Also the motto of Ottawa U apparently.
Right. God made you want to know things. That's not, that's not it at all.
It still had a, well, I mean, it was French, and it's
probably Catholic,
woven into the fabric of French Canadian culture and society. So,
well, it was
surprise me. Yeah, how often do you update a motto, though? You know,
no, you're not meant to.
Right,
that's the whole point of it.
Yeah,
Bree, I don't know if this applies. I think it could apply. How much do you feel trapped by the past?
Oh, that's interesting. What do you mean?
Right? Like I was thinking about this during Christmas. All these traditions that you have to do. Like I mean, you don't have to, but it's, you know, a tradition. But it's the past dictating what you have to do in the present. Same with like religion.
I guess I would say like it's, I don't feel trapped because I like that that it is a built-in thing in my calendar that connects me with my family, because I know otherwise it is very difficult to get the family together to do things. Mm. So for me, like that's why it's a good thing, because of its inherent bringing people togetherness who otherwise don't always get together.
Yeah.
Like maybe, and even that, like that must be so different than it would, because like before people used to spend all their time together, you know, you'd see your family all the time anyway. So it's just like, okay, but now you get a big meal or something. I don't know.
In your big village, in your little village.
Yeah. Whereas now I kind of like that. It's like, all right, everybody stop this, you know, big modern thing. And let's kind of go back to the basics. Although it's not very basic, you know, buying presents and that kind of stuff is, you know, I mean, it's nice, but it's just, not like that's the point. For me, the point is, you know, connecting. But that's tradition anyway. That's like, that's how I feel about it, especially like holidays and stuff. That's kind of my view on it. If you don't feel the same way, that's fine.
Sorry, I'm nodding in agreement as I was guzzling down some wine right there.
Delicious. Better be a VQA. Actually, I don't.
Just like an Ontario one, right?
Yeah.
It's from Peninsula Ridge. Oh. That's our place. Yeah. Mm. You treat us nice there.
Nice.
I want to go check out the one that was right around your place, Henry Pelham. I like their wine.
They do have good stuff. I thought you were going to say Dylan's, where you got the Dylan's Distillery.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. That is delicious.
They do good stuff, man. They're like primarily gin. This is going to be booze cast now. Primarily, they started, I think, doing gin. And they do like, ooh, they got this strawberry rhubarb gin, Nick, that is tasty. Oh, you know what I mean?
Nice.
Delicious. Yeah. And a peach. Well, peach stuff for the peach season. Because it's like Niagara, obviously, they've got access to all these wonderful fruits. That anyway.
Yeah. It's just peachy, Brie.
It is peachy.
I don't think I've ever mentioned it on the show, but you and I have talked about how I would like to have like a cook on, our chef on. Maybe we could talk to a creative whiskey maker or ginman, if you will.
It would be cool. Do you know who's from? Yeah, that would be a good idea. Yes, and. But you know, like a local Niagara person who would be really cool to talk to?
I don't. I'm looking forward to it.
Matty Matheson, who is from Fort Erie. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Have you seen The Bear?
Yes, I love The Bear.
Is it the best show?
It's so good. I'm glad it won all of the awards. Spoiler alert,
They need to give it an Oscar. I don't even care. It's not a movie. So just give it to him anyway. Maddie's amazing in it.
Yes. He's got a restaurant in Ridgeway that we went to before the holidays, and it was so fucking good. It's called Rizzo's House of Parm, and I feel bad. Like, I don't want people to know about it. People already know about it, I'm sure, but I don't want more people to know about it because it's in Ridgeway. And who the hell else comes to Ridgeway except people who already live in Niagara and know what Ridgeway is? I guess people come to
Crystal. Yeah.
But anyway, Rizzo's House of Parm, and we had Parm because it's in the name, and it's holy shit, it's the best.
It says so on the box.
Oh my God. It's so good. It was the best chicken parm I've ever had.
You love a good parm.
I love a chicken parm. You can't go wrong. Sometimes you can.
You can. Yeah, it's sad when you go wrong with a chicken parm.
Like, so, and it's always the garlic ratio. It's always like, why is there so much garlic in this? Too much.
Oh my God.
Or a too chunky tomato sauce. Those are my two.
You'd lose me on that.
Yeah.
Give me all the garlic.
Oh, well,
I'm very French about that.
Oh, maybe you wouldn't be able to be on What We Do in the Shadows.
No, I would be a danger to everyone.
It's so good. Anyway, you and Catherine should come down and we should go eat there because it's insane how good it is.
Yeah, we're going to... No, I mean, it's not part of the year of editing, but we want to have more date nights at least once a month. Aww. Get away from the munchkins, because the munchkins aren't so munch anymore.
Yeah, they're old. They're bigger. I was going to say old skins, but that sounded gross.
I'm going to have another Montreal trip coming up. Ooh. And that's culinary related. Yeah.
Oh, I should... No. I forgot a pair of underwear in Montreal at my buddy's place. Maybe you could go pick them up.
Yeah. I'm not doing that. We tried that last year. Yeah. That's fine. You can do it. It gives you an excuse to go to Montreal.
I love Montreal, but I'm not going to go until I don't need winter tires.
Oh, for sure. Okay. No, I think ours is for June. So.
Oh, they're nice. Okay. So my three words for the season, Nick, I have three words for this season. Just for winter.
That's enough for a motto.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. I should put them in Latin.
Put it in Latin.
Okay. All right. Let's keep talking. And by the time you're done talking, I will have these words in Latin.
I feel like I had a motto at some point. I wonder if I thought I had it up here on my photo of Jack Kerouac, my 2 hours writing a day, which never fucking happens. What happened to my motto? What's the motto for you, Brie?
All right, ready?
Are you finding? Oh, you got it? You got your three words?
Paciencia. Organizaciones. Fluenta. Mm.
All right, so patience, organization, and I don't know, what's fluenta?
Flow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, those are my three words. You love
that lady from... those commercials.
Slow. Man, do you know how good of a gig that's like, I don't have aspirations of being a big, you know, like stand-up star or Oscar star. I want the career that the progressive lady has. Like, that's the career I'm aiming for.
Ugh. My other thing is my complete hatred for commercials now that I watch commercial TV more often. It's the worst.
Nice. Also have this like, I have this like don't back down kind of feeling going on right now. And also,
Tom Petty.
I do have some Tom Petty in my head. And I also want to state, here we go. I was just thinking about this. Part of the organization part is like last year, and especially the year before, when we were kind of like, we weren't really at home because we had to show the place all the time. So we couldn't like be at home. We always had to.
Oh my God.
And there was always like,
Very disruptive.
Yeah. But so I feel like there was a lot, it was hard to keep on top of things like, I don't know, keeping track of finances in particular or things like that, you know, like staying on top of things. So part of the, like these three words, I've got the idea of keeping on top of things and then also not backing down, a whole like on top, a whole top bottom scenario.
Down.
So, okay, Nate, right. So your word is edit.
Edit.
My word.
Do I need to look up the Latin for that?
Oh, I've got like the Google search open now. I can do it pretty easily.
Edice.
That sounds Italian.
Editibus. So is freaking, I mean, so is Latin. I was going to call it Roman. It's fair.
Edo, edare, edidi. Oh, I like edidi and editus.
Ooh. Oh, I like editus.
Editus.
Sanctus. Editus.
All right. And then I think the next time, maybe we'll talk to a chef. Hey, because that's art. Right? Making food is art.
I think we had this debate that you were like, it isn't. And there's a debate that's, a lot of chefs don't consider it art. It's a craft.
I think cooking, like in general, not so artsy. Mm-hmm.
Craft.
But if you're like,
but when you're being creative with it,
if you're at like a Michelin star restaurant and you're making the food look a certain way and you're making, you know, like, and you're the servers have to like present a certain way. I don't know. You know, I think there's artistry there. For sure.
I think there's room for it to be artist. Yeah. For sure.
All right. Well, we'll
my goal is to be, a cook of a writer, not a chef. I just want to get some money for this shit.
There you go.
It's never to be like super creative, write the great Canadian novel. It's like, I aspire to be a hack. That is the goal.
Well, Nick, you're already there, I think, right?
Aim low, kids. So low that they don't notice if you miss.
The moral of the story is never try. Well, all right. Nick, how do we end this episode?
Struggle the fuck on.
Do it. Get to it. Struggle on?
Sleepy time?
I'm so tired. We had our cast party yesterday and I'm sleepy.
Oh, okay.
All right. Nice to catch up. Let's do it. Let's have a good year. Let's have a year full of editing and ant flow. All right.
Editing and periods for everyone.
Yay. Don't back down. I was going to say we could play that song, but we can't because even after death.
No, I'm pretty sure that costs money.
Yeah. All right. Struggle on. Thank you. Struggle again. On. Oh, yeah. If you enjoy this episode, listen to all the other ones.
Go on social media. Stay away from social media.
But you can check out Pod Cavern and all the other great shows that they have. That's not social media.
Yeah, listen to their shows. Listen to our shows.
Yeah.
Give us notes. Send us any advice on editing.
Perfect. Love it.
Not that we don't care about the engagement. We just want to talk.
We're just
cool. Let's hang out.
We're just lonely.